Even as a teen, Don Hendricks had never been a reckless driver. He managed to make it to the ripe old age of 35 without a single moving violation. If the police were out on patrol tonight, he'd have done more than enough to make up for lost time.
Oh, fuck me.
The car started to swerve, and he quickly turned into it before they ended up wrapped around a bent palm tree. He instinctively flinched, admonishing himself for cursing in front of Gary. Barbara had put the seatbelt over them both, her arms protecting their son from hitting into the dashboard as they stopped short. Barbara looked at him with tears in her eyes.
No!
I should have known.
The narrow strip of road into and out of town was completely underwater. The muck of the sawmill swamp rising dangerously from the storm. Grinding the steering wheel, Don wondered briefly if they could make it across. There was no telling how high the water really was. If it was only a half a foot or so, it wouldn't be a problem. If he was wrong and the car died in the swamped out road, they would be sitting ducks. And not just for the giant lizards. The sawmill was rife with alligators, who were probably very agitated thanks to Ramona.
Where do we go now?
Don considered their options. There was no high ground in Polo Springs. He couldn't think of a house strong enough to stand up to one of those monsters tromping all over it. On the other side of town was the beach. He could steal a boat, he thought. Once the storm passes, it shouldn't be all that hard to sail the hell out of here. Not that he had ever been behind the wheel of a boat, or stolen anything for that matter. For once, being a good law-abiding citizen had put him at a disadvantage.
Guns.
What do you mean, guns?
Gary looked up from his mother's breast. The boy was terrified, but there was something in his eyes that said he would go along with whatever his father decided to do. It gave Don a sliver of confidence.
The sheriff has guns. I mean, what else is going to stop them?
All right.
And I think I overheard one of the old-timers at the luncheonette say there were some cells underneath the jail. That they would make a great bomb shelter if the North Koreans could ever figure out how to act as big as they talk.
I'm sure you're not the only one thinking that. His office is probably packed to the gills.
Maybe not. Have you seen anyone else on the road?
No.
Exactly. Let's hope it stays that way.
And even if the sheriff's was packed, he was sure they'd take Barbara and Gary inside. He could stay out with the other men and figure out how to deal with this insane situation. They hurtled toward the center of town. Fewer and fewer bits of flying garbage, lawn ornaments, and shattered branches grazing the cars. Ramona's worst was hopefully behind them. Even the rain was lessening up a bit, to the point where Don had some degree of comfortable visibility. Don decided to take the route that would pass their house, just to see if it was still standing. It was, though Sam's had been reduced to matchsticks. A cold fist slammed into his gut. Sam. He'd forgotten to get Sam out of there. But he needed to save his family first. He blinked back tears. Later, there would be plenty of time for guilt and therapy. The task of saving his family was far from done.
Look out!
Another lizard, this one slightly smaller than the one that had demolished their neighbor's house and eaten her, raced across the street, knocking over Peter Jensen's Jeep in the process, as if it were a Hot Wheels toy. The lizard didn't look their way, which was a very big blessing. Instead, it crashed right through Jensen's house, shattering the front facade to flying fragments. Somehow, Peter, his wife Gay, and their teenage daughter made it out alive, running out of the attached garage like their hair was on fire.
You have to let them in!
Don jumped out of the car to open the back door.
Over here!
Gay saw him first, grabbing her daughter by the arm and leading them toward his waiting car. The lizard was busy rooting through the house's wreckage, but its swishing tail whipped to the side, cutting the fleeing family in half. Blood and viscera mingled with the rain as the top halves of the Jensens disappeared into the gloom. Their legs continued to run for a few steps before collapsing like stunted pickup sticks. Don froze, staring at the spot where his neighbors used to be. Already the rain was washing their bloody remains into the street, where it was caught in the roiling current flowing inexorably to the sewer.
Don!
Something grabbed the back of his collar. His feet went out from under him as he hit the ground, just in time to see the tail come back around, swishing right over where he'd been standing. Barbara was stretched across the front seat, her hand still clutching his shirt.
Get in!
He pushed himself into a sitting position. The lizard was backing out of the Jensen's house. It must have been looking for something, someone to eat. Not realizing it had unwittingly dispatched its meal, it was time to look for more. Struggling to get his legs working, Don stumbled into the car. His numb right foot mashed the accelerator as he shot down Wakeman Street before the lizard's tail came back around again. Don made a sharp turn onto Buena Vista Avenue. It looked as if a bomb had gone off. The houses on both sides of the street were flattened. There wasn't a soul to be seen. There did seem to be fewer cars parked on the street. Maybe that was a good thing. Maybe, hopefully, some had gotten away. But if there were more giant lizards, how much longer would it take until everyone trapped, as they were in Polo Springs, ended up just like the Jensens,